You can turn with me in God's word, please, to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 down to 18. We're continuing in this section in the book of Philippians where Paul clarifies, Paul compares, and Paul cheers that Christ is preached. So Philippians chapter 1, reading verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just look to the Lord for prayer and we'll still our hearts at the throne of grace. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we pray, O God, that thou wilt bless us and undertake. We pray, O God, that thou wilt give help in the ministry and in the preaching of thy word. It is our desire, O God, to see Christ lifted up. For he has said in his word that if he be lifted up, he will draw all men on to himself. And Father, it is the way of the cross that leads home. Lord, we pray thy people will not be ashamed of the cross, but O God, we will ever cling to the cross, the place of where Christ paid our ransom. We ask of thee, O God, now lead us on and through with thyself in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Apostle Paul was imprisoned for preaching the gospel, he was chained to Roman soldiers, each taking their turn to guard Paul. Paul testified of the gospel's saving power by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, dethroning every false idol and every pagan god that the Romans worshipped. Paul was writing to the saints at Philippi to assure them that such things have happened unto him, such as prison for the furtherance of the gospel, but also believers at Rome were strengthened as they witnessed God's work advancing through and by Paul's bonds. It proved that God's truth goes marching on, that Christ will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For this reason, the believers at Rome who were once fearful to preach the word now preach the word with boldness. They preach the word with courage. Remember, the Roman ruler at this time was a man named Nero. And Nero hated Christians and had them die a martyr's death. Church history records that Nero authorized the burning of Christians, using them as lights for Rome at night. And during Nero's reign, Paul was then in prison under the sentence of death. And Paul could have been executed at any time. Yet Paul was able to say, during such times, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul was ready to leave this scene of time at any time because Christ was his Savior. And I asked you, even today, are you ready to leave this earth at any time when your soul is required of you? Is it well? Is it well with your soul? Do you have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you got the Spirit of God dwelling within you? Have you cried unto God for mercy? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you have not done, you are unprepared. And if you leave this scene of time in that state, you will go to a lost eternity where you will be punished with everlasting destruction in the torments of hell. But we're glad today There is good news in the gospel. There's good news. There's hope for you even now to cry unto God for salvation. When fearing believers looked at Paul's circumstances in prison and they could see how the gospel was spread, they were encouraged and they themselves were strengthened once again to proclaim, to announce Christ for the forgiveness of sins. However, from verses 15 through to 18, the believers who were now bold to speak Christ's name were divided into two groups. Believers who preached Christ to support Paul in gospel ministry, and believers who preached Christ to distress Paul in gospel ministry. The two groups are the detractors and the supporters. What is a detractor? A detractor is a person who belittles or devalues the reputation of another. A detractor is someone who wants to tear someone else apart, to tear them down, to make little of them. And that's why these words are astonishing, because Paul clarifies that these detractors, they preach Christ. Paul is not writing about false teachers or false believers. We could understand that. We could grasp that. But the very fact that Paul says when he writes to the believers at Philippi, there's God's people who support me, but there are others who preach Christ to get at me. And yet, they're preaching Christ. Their message, as Paul said, they proclaim, they announce Christ in all the scripture. Their manner, their method, how they preach Christ is solid. Their message about Christ is sound. They preach Christ as the exclusive, the effective, and exalted Savior. They preach redemption, the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. And all that there is good. And you may say, well, what's the big issue then? What's the deal? They're preaching Christ. Yet Paul, when he writes about their motives, that's the issue in these verses. When Paul writes about their motives or why they're preaching Christ, it is shocking and it is shameful. Upon examination, the Philippian believers would learn as they would read this letter that there were some who preached Christ for their own glory, their own cause, and their own advancements. Some preach Christ with a purpose that people would follow them and distance themselves from Paul and not receive instruction from Paul. In a sense, such people were like the Pharisees who the Lord spoke of in Matthew chapter 6, that their motives, why they do things, are to be seen of men. It's all about how they appear and look before men. And therefore, believer, the question comes to our hearts. Why do we preach Christ? Why do we serve Christ? Why do we seek to share the gospel? Is it for Christ's glory or for our own? Is it to draw people to Christ or self? Is it to uplift his name or to uplift our name? Why do we desire to teach the gospel, the Bible, to children, to the youth? Why do we desire church membership? Why do we desire baptism, church offices? Why do we desire to see sinners saved and believers to grow in grace? Is it all for Christ's glory? Or is it for our own? Why do we desire to see men and women brought into this congregation? Is it for them to hear the gospel for Christ's sake, for Christ's glory? Or is it just to ramp round and say, oh, look, our congregation is more packed than anyone else? Why do we do what we do? And so Paul is saying, the message they preach is the same message I preach. How they preach Christ is how I preach Christ. But why they are preaching Christ, that their motives are wrong. Because they're not preaching Christ for Christ's glory. They're preaching Christ for their own glory. And may this message stir our hearts to learn, as Paul teaches, that you can have the right message, but the wrong motives. You can do right the wrong way. And so may our hearts be challenged. May they be stirred to preach Christ, to serve Christ, to live for Christ with the right motives, that in all things Christ will have the preeminence, that he will be uplifted and he will be glorified. So that was really the summary of the first point that Paul, of his clarification. Notice secondly, today, Paul compares how Christ is preached. And this is really where you get into it. As we said, their message and their manner was fine. But how or why? That's the issue, their motives. Paul compares how Christ is preached. The key word is the key word in 15. Some, that is the word, the key word, some. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. And so we said this word some refers back to those in verse 14, the believers who are now bold to speak the word without fear. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention. Verse 17, but the other of love. And so Paul now compares the two. Believers who had been fearful are now bold to preach the word. But in their boldness, in their courage that they received to preach the word, it was misused, misapplied, and misdirected, that they were preaching Christ to take away from Paul's ministry. That's why Paul uses the word some indeed to emphasize the shock, what's going on. The word indeed means surely, certainly, of a truth. In other words, Paul himself is shocked. Paul himself is amazed, as would the believers at Philippi when they would read this letter, that there would be some within the church of Christ, the family of God, the household of faith, fellow preachers, fellow believers, would preach Christ in such a way to advance themselves by causing trouble to other believers who faithfully are serving God and preaching Christ. And we made this point last week that why some had shocks on their face, that could this actually happen? This happens in churches. And actually, I was talking to a brother after the service, and we were relating different instances where this has happened in the past and where it is happening even now. And so may God cover this congregation in the precious blood. May God ever keep people away from this congregation who would seek to come and seek to cause disturbance, seek to cause division, who would ever seek to come and to preach Christ for their own glory. May God put a hedge around about us. Paul compares their attitudes in preaching Christ. Paul begins with the detractors. Notice what he said. Some indeed preach Christ of envy and of strife. The word envy means jealousy. Not just wanting what another person has, but also resenting that person for having it. And so sin, or envy, is the sin of jealousy. Jealous, envious over the blessings of other believers. In this case, Paul's ministry was blessed. Paul's ministry was prospering. Even in prison, souls were being saved. And yet, they envied him, and they couldn't see why he should be blessed. He had success that they didn't have, but they wanted. And so they began to preach Christ out of jealousy. They began to preach Christ with that envy spirit. This is a strong word. Again, it's the same word in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, where we read of the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. And we've been going through the life of Joseph, and we've seen how his brothers envied him. Again, Genesis 37, verse 11. His brethren envied him. Genesis 30, verse 1. Rachel envied her sister. Remember, Leah was fruitful in childbearing, but Rachel at that stage was barren. And so she envied her sister. She was jealous of her sister having given birth so many times. It's the same word used of Christ and of the crowd's attitude against Christ. Matthew 27, verse 18, that for envy they had delivered him. And so these preachers, why they preached Christ, yet they did so out of jealousy. They did so out of envy. They wanted what Paul had. This leads on then to the word strife, which means contention, which means rivalry. It is to forget who your friends are, who your supporters are, who helps you, and who should support you. There's rivalry, there's competition, there's bitter conflict. And this was the attitude of the detractors towards Paul. They preached Christ in rivalry against Paul. They preached Christ in opposition to Paul. They preached Christ in a competition form, Paul trying to get more people, trying to get better. That leads on then to the word contention, which means self-ambitious in verse 16. And that is self-seeking. It is the desire to be number one, no matter what the cost. This word contention is actually a party term, meaning a term for politics, for canvassing. A person desires the office of party leader, MP, maybe as you're seeing on the news, prime minister, and they will say whatever they want to say against the other person. Why? Because I want the votes. Don't go for that person. And if you go for that person, the nation's going to be sunk. And they say whatever they have to say just to get elected. And this is what this word contention means. They preach Christ out of contention. They're saying things. Their rivalry, their canvassing. They just want people not to hear Paul preach. Again, remember, this happened at the church at Corinth. Believers began to take sides. Believers began to canvass for other men. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 to 8. Paul said, "For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is nothing, there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, yet ye are not carnal. Are ye yet not carnal? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God give the increase." And that's what Paul was getting at. It's God who gives the increase. It's the Lord who moves. It's the Lord who blesses. It's all for Christ's sake. It's not because of the preacher. It's not because of the church name. It's because of Christ being exalted. Paul taught that believers in the local assembly, they're not to work against one another. They are to work with one another, laboring together. One waters, one sows, one waters, but it's God that gives the increase. According to the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, envy, strife, contention that he mentions here in Philippians chapter 1 are listed in the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, can be divided into four sections. You read that those verses, they can be split into four sections. Well, it is the third section that envy, strife, and contention are found. And that section deals with the sin of pride, wanting power, position, the praise, and the preeminence. And that what was happening here. These believers began to preach Christ, and what they said was right. But why they were saying it? Because they wanted the position. They wanted the praise. They wanted the power. They wanted people to be able to say, well, I'm of so-and-so. I'm of so-and-so. They wanted to take away from Paul's ministry. And so while their message was right, their attitude was wrong. They were leading a rebellion. They'd been encouraged by Paul. They'd been instructed by Paul. They'd been strengthened under Paul's ministry. Now they got the stage. Well, I should have my own congregation. I should be the preacher now among the people. And began to preach out of contention. Began to preach out of rivalry. Began to preach wanting the position, the power, the praise. And Paul is writing this. That's why, believer, we must learn from those who Paul says, but some preach of good will. That means good pleasure, means gracious purpose. They preached because the love of Christ flowed through them. They were channels of blessings. They wanted to see Christ exalted, and therefore they supported those who were preaching Christ. Their motive was pure in preaching Christ. They didn't preach Christ for themselves. They preached Christ to see Christ exalted. They got alongside Paul. They helped Paul. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul had no interest, or let me say, Paul's messages were not filled with degrading other people. He did not preach to set up rivalry each week. His messages were not to see what's happening this week, that week. Paul, when he preached up Christ. Paul desired to see Christ exalted. He desired to open the scriptures and to preach Christ for the remission of sins, all for Christ's glory. And so as Paul contrasts these believers, they're both preaching Christ, but they have two completely different motives. And I asked myself, and I asked yourself, and the question is, why are we serving Christ? Why are we laboring for Christ? Why do we have the position of committee? Why in our denomination and in Scripture is there the position of eldership? Is it just to be seen of men? Is it position's sake for position's sake? Or is it for Christ's glory, to be a channel of blessing, to be used by the Lord, to say, here's my life, Lord, take it, let it be consecrated unto thee, Lord. I surrender all. Here's my life, Lord. Not only does Paul compare their attitudes in preaching, Paul also compares their agenda in preaching Christ. The detractors were seeking to take away from Paul's service. As they preached the gospel, their real agenda was to discredit, distress, accuse, criticize, belittle, devalue, and dishonor Paul. They got among others who were listening to Paul to give reasons why they should not be listening to Paul. And as I said, these things happen today in our own land. They wanted to make Paul's ministry appear as if it was useless, as if it was weak, as if it was finished. Paul is in prison. Paul is finished now. And yet God was using Paul in prison. Paul said himself, verse 16, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. The word affliction means tribulation, means distress, means to put pressure on. The word add means to top up, to bring upon, to accuse. The word supposing means to think. It refers to their mindset, their frame of mind. And it is in the continual tense. And so this was their continual purpose. This was their continual mindset, to add affliction to Paul, to preach Christ, to distress Paul. Because Paul said, to add affliction, to add distress to my bonds, my chains. They're preaching to distress me. They're preaching to get at me. These believers were walking in the flesh, and they took every moment they could to belittle Paul. Whereas verse 17, Paul also says about those who preach Christ with the right motive. They preach of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. They knew Paul was set. That word set means to be appointed, to be fixed. It refers to a special assignment. These people didn't try to take a position that God had not given them. Rather, they acknowledged Paul was an apostle. They acknowledged the words of Acts 9, verse 15, where God said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." They recognized, we want to help Paul. We want to support Paul. We want to be there for Paul. He's been called of God to preach the word. He's been set for the defense of the gospel. And therefore, we will preach Christ to help encourage Paul, to support Paul in the ministry, to exalt Christ as Paul exalts Christ, to lift up Christ as Paul lifts up Christ. Because Paul is set for the defense of the gospel. And again, that word defense, we looked at it. It is the word where we get the word apologetics from. It means to answer or to argue or to be a defender of the gospel. And so their motive in preaching was to answer for the gospel. Their motive in preaching was to exalt Christ because they knew Paul was called of God. And therefore, believer, may our agenda always be to preach Christ with the right motive. The agenda to support gospel ministry, working together to see the gospel advance in this place in London. Oh, that the gospel bells will ring here in London again, that the name of Christ as it is preached throughout this place will be heard, that as in days gone by, in days of blessing, in days of revival, when people used to ask, as we looked at on Wednesday night, on great days of revival, what's the news? What's the news? People would answer, the news is, my Jesus hath done all things well. The Lamb was slain on Calvary. That's the news. That's the news. To set a world of sinners free. That's the news. That's the news. For us, His precious blood was shed. And now He's risen from the dead. That's the news. That's the news. The Lord has pardoned all my sin. That's the news. That's the news. And Jesus Christ can save you too. That's the news. That's the news. And men and women today, that's still the news. The greatest news. The best news. Jesus Christ saves sinners. He receives sinful men and women. Believer, that's the news. He's pardoned all your sin. He's forgiven you. He's redeemed you. He's adopted you. You belong to Him. And He belongs to you. I tell you, that's the news. That's the news. And may this be the news as we go around the streets of London and exalt Jesus Christ. It's not for me, not for this denomination. It's for Christ's own glory. Paul clarifies and Paul compares. Notice finally, Paul cheers that Christ is preached. This is rather amazing. Paul cheers that Christ is preached. Here is an example of a spirit-filled believer. Paul, having considered those who preach Christ, supporting him, laboring with him, to encourage him, yet speaks of those who preach Christ in opposition to him. Paul says these words in verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached." Instead of getting bitter, instead of getting angry, instead of calling for a special prayer meeting to pray against them, Paul doesn't. Paul just says, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. The word pretense means to appear, means a false display. Literally, it is the word pretending. Whether in pretending, whether in a false way. They appear their motives are right, but their motives are wrong. Connects to verse 15. Not sincerely means not pure, not of honest motives. Their message is genuine, but their motives, their intentions for preaching Christ is false. It is impure. But here's Paul's thought of it. Here's what Paul summarizes. They preach Christ to trouble me. They preach Christ to distress me. They preach Christ in rivalry against me. Yet, as long as Christ is being preached, that's what I rejoice in. Now that's amazing on so many levels. Because if somebody was blasting you and somebody was giving you a bad name, you'd be up in arms. But Paul says, distress me, preach to be in rival against me, try to take people away from listening to me, that's entirely to you. But I'm just rejoicing that Christ is being preached, that they are hearing the truth. Oh yes, their message is right. I've no doubt God will deal with their motives, because that's what Paul goes on after when he comes to the first 19, when he talks about God will vindicate him. God will deal with their motives, but I'm just glad that Christ is being preached. Paul is not rejoicing in their wrong motives, because he couldn't rejoice in that, but he is rejoicing that Christ is being preached. Though it's discouraging, distressing, disheartening, but at least people are hearing the gospel. As George Whitefield used to say, let the name of Whitefield perish and the name of Christ be exalted, or the words of that sort. Paul could take the same. Let the name of Paul perish and the name of Christ, the preaching of Christ, be exalted in the land. And therefore, sinners grasp this truth. Believers grow in this gospel truth. It's not about this denomination. It's about Jesus Christ. Paul was bound to a Roman guard, and yet he rejoices. He cheers that Christ is being preached. And what a lesson that is for our hearts. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, other sheep have I. Christ loves his church and gave himself for his church. And while humanly speaking, man has divided Christ's church believers into Presbyterian, Baptists, Methodists, Congregational, Gospel Hall, and much more. And I'm referring to Bible churches, not apostate. I'm just talking about Bible ones, those who preach the gospel. They may have a name, but we need to look beyond the name. For instance, I talk to people and say, I'm a Free Presbyterian. Heresy! What? And yet, little do they know, Christ is preached in this place. I remember I talked to a man, what church are you? I'm a minister of a Free Presbyterian, church. What? Well, I've heard of Presbyterian, but never Free Presbyterian. And little do they know, look beyond the name, and you see Christ is preached. And so I may get a leave it through the door from a different group of believers, whatever the name may be. And I may, when it comes to distinctives, when it comes to preferences, they may not do everything that I would certainly do and all the rest. But here's the point. If Christ is preached in his unique person, his sinless life, his substitutionary death, his victorious resurrection, his glorious return, the gospel is spread, then they are not my enemy. I must, like Paul, say, I rejoice that Christ is preached. I may not agree with all they do. I may not even go to ever visit them. But I can say, I know in that part, wherever they're laboring, they're preaching Christ, and souls in that area are hearing
the gospel.
They may blast me. They may speak ill of me, but that's between them and the Lord. But I have to take the route like Paul and say, Christ is preached and God will deal with them in whatever way he will. But I must rejoice that I'm in my little small corner and there in thine shining the gospel light. And so the point of this message today and last week is to encourage your hearts whenever we share the gospel, live the gospel, whenever we desire to teach the children or become church members or committee men or whatever it may be, it always must be not for man's glory, for man's sake, or to be seen of men, not to boast to others. Well, how many did you have last Sunday? Is that all? Well, you know, we had a lot more. It is to uplift Christ. It is to preach Christ. How was your Sunday, believer? You know what? Christ was uplifted. How was your Sunday service, believer? Well, I was there and my minister, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. That's the way it should be. And may God write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.